Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
Aren't you glad that wasn't what you wrote in your Mother's Day card or your journal? What an image. Every bird in the sky has flown away. Why can I not start again? The earth shall mourn. For Mother's Day, for Christian Family Sunday, come on. You thought you were here for brunch or good hospitality as part of this time of worship, but we cannot think on our family stories without moments where we have thought of each other as foolish, where we have spoken out of turn, not always out of love. In fact, we cannot think on our family stories without healing or tending to the parts that will break your heart. We cannot read or hear the news in our province, our city, our neighborhood, our global family, without listening, particularly when we hear scriptures naming Jerusalem, an actual place with its peoples in conflict and turmoil, we are invited to pause and remember that there are moments of despair and grief and heartbreak, times we want to begin again, or where your heart, as the prophet says today, proclaims the earth shall mourn. This is not new, the both and of the joy of love and the heartbreak of love. We wear it in the lines and wrinkles on our bodies. We wear it in the parts of the story we don't often share. And in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 37, and again in the Gospel of Luke 13, verse 34, Jesus himself weeps over the brokenness of God's world. He looks out over Jerusalem and cries, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." And in another version, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murderer of prophets, killer of the ones who brought God's news. How often I've ate to embrace your children the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not let me." One of Jesus' most emotional laments, heartbreak over the state of his beloved city, Jerusalem, with a long and tragic record of rejecting God's messengers, story after story after story. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and others persecuted or killed in and around the city because they called for repentance, because they spoke truth that made people uncomfortable. Jesus is saying and praying, this has always been our pattern. We silence those who are sent by God. And we know, dear ones, that people are being silenced in our world today, silenced in families, silenced in workplaces, silenced in media, silenced by fear. We can be curious and wary about the snake charmers, who they are, where the fake news tellers are, or the people whose companies pay those to influence and speak a truth we may not have tested. And we notice the truth tellers, folks who are standing up for what they believe in, preaching from podiums about their experiences, using platforms available to them to cry out, or humbly inviting conversation at family table, holding power humbly, holding the world that God loves gently. And we must ask ourselves in this family day, who are we listening to? We must listen to what our own hearts know to be true, an examining. For knowing is not about holding tightly to our rightness, but about embracing a way that moves us forward in love. And this can be impossibly overwhelming. Or in your family system, it might be overwhelmingly impossible to try again, to figure it out, to discern. For discernment is why we need each other. Here in this community that does not answer trivia the same, or love the same, or vote the same, we definitely do not think the same or dress the same. We are invited to listen to each other, to get to know each other, and to remind each other weekly or daily that in the beginning of that book of Genesis, God declares creation tov meod, very good. Not useful, not profitable, good. And this goodness of God is spoken over the whole community. In the beginning, in the life together as the church tries to figure out how to be that community, and in our own lives and families. So we try our best, some days better than others, to follow in the way of Jesus, who doesn't cry out over Jerusalem in judgment, but in heartbreak. A Jesus who longs to gather us, to shelter us, to protect us like a hen with her chicks. Now, I come from a long line of farming families that are more connected to beef than to chicken. When I think of birds, chickens are not usually the first that come to mind as spiritual or noble or fiercely protective. Eagles, doves, swans even, those feel poetic. Canada geese, their determination, they are fierce and protective. But chickens? How have we treated them as dirty and dumb and consumable? In fact, they're nothing special. Definitely not poetic. They didn't even make it into the title of the sermon. And yet Jesus compares himself to a hen. And when we picture a hen today, we often picture the most common, chickens who live row upon row, eating and laying machines, their eggs whisking away quickly on conveyor belts, fattened with a short life of a few weeks of being born. Chickens today are eons away from the wild, red jungle fowl from which they came. This hit home to me when a mentor, Reverend Cameron Trimble, who's a human being and a minister trying to remember how to live in right relationship with the land and its creatures. She has a 10-acre farm with her family, and it's called the Common Good. She shared this story, for she is involved in keeping a family of chickens on her farm. But the neighbor came over with 30 factory farm chickens from a poultry house in town because he had no way to care for them. Her flock doubled overnight from 30 to 60, and she was unprepared for what would come with those chickens. Birds not shaped by sunlight and pasture, birds that knew industrial efficiency, whose genetic lines were engineered for speed and output. Some who couldn't walk, some who trembled because their brains didn't work properly, some who wouldn't know about growing or developing. She noticed they drank astonishing amounts of water, they moved differently, and their bodies carried the story of confinement. She said, caring for them was sobering. She'd hold one of them and feel the weakness in their legs. She writes, I cannot convince myself that this is the world God dreamed of for us. Ingenuity, intention with wisdom, abundance without reverence. And abundance without reverence can easily become violence. God must grieve this, she writes, because God's love does not look away from harm. The earth is the Lord's, the prophet proclaims, not ours, to use, to exhaust, but to tend. But when you are holding a life in your hand, and in the farm life, there's a holding of life and death, ideas and beliefs dissolve, and there is only relationship. We are aware that we haven't just changed the chicken's lifestyle. In fact, we have reconstructed its whole being. That's not the kind of hen that Jesus was talking about, of course. In fact, author Debbie Blue in her book, Consider the Bird, suggests maybe there's something we could learn here too. We've had our way with chickens and caging and packaging them, just as we often try to do with Jesus. We want to fit him neatly into our boxes. We want to make him palatable, consumable, almost controllable. But Jesus, like a mother hen, makes himself vulnerable. He doesn't swoop down like an eagle. He doesn't roar like a lion. He doesn't build a fortress or a bunker. He opens his wings, fragile and tender and protective. And he becomes vulnerable rather than taking power. That's what is so shocking about this image. Jesus doesn't show us this God of brute force. Jesus does not nag us around the dinner table into doing what he wants us to do. He shows us a God of love, a God who is willing to risk heartbreak for the sake of protecting her chicks. And friends, if we are honest, we are often not willing. Just like Jerusalem, we resist being gathered. We're not immune to the bird shit that is happening in our world. We cannot live always in the gift of a spring day, for sunshine and rainbows meet the heartbreak of the world. Both and. The earth moans and creation groans, but we are not chicks scattering in fear. The only time I have had intimate connection with a chicken is on a farm of a friend on Canada Day, where we thought that having fireworks would be fun, until someone realized that the chicken coop had been left open, and after the first set of fireworks, all these city friends are sitting in their lawn chairs enjoying a bubbly pop, and all of a sudden chickens are running everywhere in the dark. People are chasing chickens to the edge of the cornfield and beyond without a single idea of how to keep the chickens safe, and yet knowing they needed some protection and care. Sometimes life feels a little bit like that. A God who shows up for us in love, who's willing to chase after you, to find you at the edge of the cornfield or under the tire of a parked car, wherever you are. We resist this vulnerability because we prefer strength and control. We prefer knowing the plan. We build cages not just for chickens, but for each other. We reduce people to categories, to labels, to consumers, to workers. If you're not so sure if we do that, just pay attention if you were the firstborn, or the middle kid, or the baby, or the only. or the one born between two sets of twins who always got to get in trouble because she could just slip around behind? We are invited with this image of the sheltering wing to see creation as God's, to see others as more than resources or commodities or profit. And oh, we long for security, for the assurance of safety. In fact, there's a lot of infrastructure going into weapons and barbed wire and muscle, to boxing things in and thinking defense and retaliation are the way, an eye for an eye. This land is my land. It's showing up globally, in neighborhoods, in families. And these aren't solutions, my friends. For we all know there are moments in families where we need to put all of those righteousness things down. For they are shallow and temporary. I had one friend say, I worked like for 10 years going to therapy to figure out how to be in relationship with my mom and set good boundaries. And then she gets sick and we're all there at the hospital trying to figure out how to care for each other. There is the work and there is the showing up. We are invited to take action on this Christian Family Sunday, not in the way of retaliation or vengeance, but in the way of love, to witness, to reflect the light, to use our gifts, whether to teach or encourage or to serve or to give or to show compassion or to come alongside someone who feels that they are alone, to extend mercy in Christ's name. For we are gathered under the wings of a God who loves us, a God who keeps calling like a hen clucking after her scattered chicks. God keeps gathering and sheltering and offering wings of love. And here's the thing about a bird's wing that I didn't know. It's not absolute, it's pliable. A bird's wing is incredibly pliable and strong and lightweight. It's capable of changing shape instantly to manage flight. Unlike the fixed airplane wings, bird wings can alter their shape or their area or their curvature during flight to optimize maneuverability and energy efficiency. Jesus says that he longs to gather us like chicks under his wing, to shield and comfort us from the world and its ills, but not to cage us, not to sweep us into safety and the security of the coop or the barn, but allow us to be in it, to witness to it all, to explore and investigate and seek the truth for our own lives. And with this shield of love, of infinite possibilities surrounding us, who knows what is possible? It's a freedom. It's a freedom to try and to fail, to fall and to get back up again, to wonder and to wander and to see and to witness. For once we have seen, we cannot unsee. God does not ask us to ignore or turn away or overlook the pain of the world, but to believe beyond it, to believe that God loves us to the moon and back, to infinity and beyond, that God is in the midst of the mess and covering us with a wing of love. It is a wing that can hold and cover it all. A wing that does not ask you to hold and cover it all. They call it active morphing, these wings. Birds can twist and bend their wings, flexing them inward on an upstroke to reduce drag so that they will move faster and use them when it's time to slow down. So I bless you this day with feather flexibility. For feathers themselves are flexible yet strong. They bend under air pressure and they interlock to create a solid surface on the downstroke. To act in love requires feather flexibility. And when your feathers feel stiff or not even ready to take flight, you're part of a flock that is held and with you. In our time, we don't picture those chickens flying because it's not too graceful, but they do get to where they need to be. We are not alone, friends, in this gathered world. We are not alone in this broken world. We are gathered, sheltered, and loved. And we are called today to be gentle witnesses to this fragile and tender love that is stronger than any power this world can build. So go gently into the day. Ask someone to tell them about your family rather than to be worried about who their mother is. For we are all related, held in God's sheltering wings. Thanks be to God for a love like that.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.